The Cotswold Order by Robin Brooks, with Peter Tuddenham as Joss Whatton and Angela Crowe as his inamorata Beryl. The Cotswold Order.
Get in there, get your old blast. Oi, Beryl.
What?
Come here a minute, will you?
What is it?
Give us a hand to hold this level.
I'm making the bed.
We've already got a bed.
I can't leave the place like a pigsty. It's Sunday. I'll be there in a minute.
This is important. It's to do with our wedding.
Wedding? Oh, Joss, are you made up your mind? When can we be married?
Well, first things first.
Oh.
Now help me to hold this notice straight so I can hammer it on the gate.
Joss Whatton, apothecary and medical advice. Free estimate. Painting and decorating a speciality.
Ah, good, isn't it? What do you reckon?
What's apothecary?
It's a way to make a few bob, Beryl.
Hiding a way you're always on about making money.
I do. It's because we never had any.
It always leads to trouble.
Never.
Well, I saw Ethel Chapman yesterday. Joe's still on crutches from that set of dentures you made him.
Ah, well.
And that chicken tonic you said would make Alf Leiby's hens lay bigger eggs made their eyes bulge.
He should have put it in their food, not try to force the stuff into them in the way he did. Now, look, Beryl, we can't be married until we've got a bit put by. And this new idea will see us very nice.
Oh, come on, then. Hurry up, we'll be late for church. And our Whitlock will be down on you like a ton of bricks. And no singing the Flyby on the turnips and the hymns this week.
Ah, that vicar. He's a pain in the pulpit, he is.
Hello, Joss. Morning, Beryl.
Oh, hello,
hello Will.
How is it, old son?
Oh, not so good again.
Oh, what's up then, boy?
Well, you know that recurring trouble of mine.
What? The trouble you've had before?
No, not when I had the feet. I mean the old trouble.
Oh, crikey. That come back, has it?
No, it's moved. Do you know what I could rub on? Might do some good.
I reckon I just happen to have the very thing on my person, Wilf.
Oh?
I'm never without it. Here you are. Have a go with that.
Shrimp paste. Well, I can't believe rubbing shrimp paste on my bad place will do much good. Just make it smell.
That ain't shrimp paste. That's a special ointment I made myself. I just put it in that jar because it was handy. Now, you try it, Wilf. It'll do the trick.
All right, thanks. How much?
Well, I usually charge 2 bob for a drop like that, but being as I know you, 1/2 crown.
Oh, thanks very much, Joss. You're a pal.
All the best then, Wilf. See you in church later.
I'm surprised that old sod Whitlock don't ban you from services.
How do you mean?
Well, I'm sure he knows it's you as passes wind in the responses every week.
That's a response. And a very apt one in the case of Whitlock.
Oh.
Bye then, Wilf.
Bye. And thanks again.
What's in that ointment of yours, Joss?
'Tis a secret brew, Beryl. Made from unctuous oils of the Orient. Precious, natural secretions from the generous teat of Mother Nature herself.
What is your language, Joss?
Rare herbs, chosen spices, the pulped paps of newborn suckling things. Plus 2 pounds of Bramley's and a pair of your old knickers.
There now, how do I look?
Ooh. You shouldn't put that flowery frock on with the climbing roses curling up round your house, your father.
Oh, never mind that now, thank you very much. We'll be late for church.
Oh, I reckon we can spare 5 minutes, can't we?
No! Oh, it's time to go.
Oh, wow. Go on.
Oh, heartless Jezebel.
Now, you and me must sit down and have a chinwag before long.
What about?
What about us sharing the same house but not the same name?
Well, I don't want to be called Beryl.
I want to know when we're going to be wed.
We agreed we'd have a trial marriage, didn't we?
We've been on trial for 9 years.
Good morning, Mr. Whatton. Morning, Beryl.
Morning, Mrs. Bickerslade. Fine day for it.
I wonder if you could pop round and see me at the house one afternoon, Mr. Whatton.
Eh?
I've just taken over as social secretary of the Netherton Ladies Knit for Enlightenment Group. And wondered if we could lure you along to a meeting.
Oh.
Thought you might like to give a little talk about rustic customs or something. What do you think?
Well, give a talk. Well, of course, I'm pretty busy and time's money.
There's a small fee.
No, I'd be happy, Mrs. Bickerside. I'll be round one afternoon when you've got nothing on.
Splendid. Must dash. Don't want to keep the vicar waiting, do we?
Oh, give a talk and be paid, Beryl.
You, Joss.
Oh, crikey.
Have you got a second, Joss? Something needs a man's hand.
What's Evie coming shouting about? Evie's been a bit down on her uppers since her Edwin caught his smock in the thresher.
You carry on. I'll just check everything's all right, and then I'll see you in church.
All right.
If you're late, old Whitlock will raise heaven and hell.
Hello, my sugar love.
What are you trying to do? Land me in the slurry? Oh, fancy calling out when I'm walking by with Barry like that.
I thought you'd be pleased to see me. And I've got a little job needs doing.
Edie, I'm on my way to church.
Oh, it'll only take a minute or two. And you wouldn't want me to say anything to Beryl about all the times you've given me the benefit of your workmanship.
All right, but remember, I expect time and a half for working Sundays.
Danny!
Oh, hello, Vic. What's the trouble like?
Stop heaving those dumbbells about and put your surplus on. Service starts in 10 minutes.
Okie dokie. Just getting a bit of training, like, in case only the old congregation come on a bit strong when I go around with the old collection bucket.
I'm all in favour of you keeping your strength up. The Lord's work often requires a firm hand, especially in a village like this where wrongdoing is rife. But I wish you wouldn't keep your training gear in the vestry. That punch bag gets in the way of everything.
All right, enough said, Vic. Call, what's name? Shifter. What's the old good cause for the day, then?
Organ fund, bell ropes. Oh, I could do with a new cassock. Squeeze a couple of quid each out of them, and I'll see you right. Usual percentage.
Say no more. Yeah, that's that Joss Wotton bloke still owes us from last week. You know, the old churchyard fund. And he never coughed up for the tower fund, can it?
You shouldn't mention that disciple of mammon before a service. You know, it puts me all in a lather. I'd like to see that man burn.
Look, I could give him a good going over, if you like.
Not yet. I'm waiting for him to overstep the mark, see? Oh. I know the fibre of his morals is as threadbare as a whore's drawers. But I can't throw him out of that church cottage he lives in unless I catch him red-handed. Oh. I'd need evidence for the bishop to give his consent, see?
Well, we better get the old show on the road then, Victor. Oh, look. Church is filled up nice.
That's the advantage of church cottages, Danny. Every tenant knows that to miss a service means a visit from yours truly and immediate eviction. Clever system, really. When I look around me, what do I see? All about the village, in each room of every cottage, in each heart of every villager, in each life of every blackened soul, I see sin. Yes, sin. Filthy, despicable, slime-soaked, pox-ridden sin. In those few places where I do not see sin, I find evil. Seething, evil, lurking, smouldering evil. Repent.
Repent, I say.
Okay.
Stand.
Hello, Barry. Missed much, have I?
Oh, red in the face.
What do you mean, red in the face?
I mean, your face is all red.
Well, I had a struggle with Edie Plumbing.
The ball cock playing up again, was it?
Hallelujah! Oh, sorry, Vicar. Just entered into the spirit.
Now, I just asked the Reverend Dineen to say a few words before the blessing.
Say a few words? The great dollop has enough trouble remembering his own name.
He's got a fine big pair of shoulders, I know.
Yeah, right. Now then, the organ's on the blink. Bloke come to look at it, right, and he said the bellows has copped it. Well, that's going to cost a few bob for a start, you know what I mean? One of the ropes, what the bell's rung with, has come off. It's more money. So, where's the readies going to come from, you may be asking yourselves? Answer, from you lot. I'll be standing outside the church door in a minute, and I want everyone to chip in. A couple of quid each ought to do it. Listen, hold it. It's all in a good cause. And anyone who doesn't come up with a spondulix can look forward to a little visit from me to discuss the matter more fully. I hope I make myself clear. Right, that's it.
Oh, you always go for the old blessing, like, innit?
Thank you, Reverend Danini. Now, may you all leave this place in peace and contentment. May the true light lead you along life's pathway, and nobody try rushing for the door before me and Danine get there. Amen.
Stand over by the sink barrel and start filling those jars with the stuff in this bucket. Now you can strain it through this old sock of mine.
Oh, my God, what a terrible smell. Whatever have you been mixing up there?
This is the elixir. Now hurry up, and I can stick the labels on.
Let's have a look at one of those labels. Watton's Patent Compound Elixir. Cures hair loss, smarting loins, bad blood, ear infections. Handy for shifting slow bowels. Remove stains from bed linen as used by royalty. What royalty?
My Auntie Queenie. Oh, why do people always come in? I'm busy. Now, have a look behind the curtain, Bella, and see who's there.
Hang on. Was that Reverend Dunning, Joss? He'll be after something for his organ.
Does he look agitated?
Not really. He's just standing there with a length of chain in one hand and a pick handle in the other.
Oh, keep him occupied, Bella, while I slip out the back.
Wait a minute, what's I telling?
Tell the big bully to sod off, but nicely.
Oh, Joss! Oh, hello, Reverend. How nice of you to call.
Oh, is it? I've come to see that scheming, thieving, tight-fisted, ignorant wastrel what you're shacked up
no,
with.
No, he's not ignorant. He's not in either. Oh. Why don't you stay for a cup of tea? Save a wasted journey.
Well...
Can't keep working yourself to the bone all the time.
Well, all right then, just for a minute, like.
Sit down. Oh. And with your cassock, you won't feel the benefit when you go out again. My word, Reverend. You've got some arms on you for a clergyman.
Well, oh, I'm in training at the moment.
Flex your biceps for me, Rev.
Well, then.
There you are. My goodness. Oh, those muscles in your lovely big hands. Oh. I bet you can't ask get a grip on.
Well, I'll do my best, okay?
Just look at your chest. Oh. Go on. Slip your dog collar and shirt off while there's nobody about.
No. Look, I'll better be off now, because...
Oh, it's all right. I mean, don't get the wind up.
Well,
it's just that I think the human body is a God-given gift. Don't you?
Well, I suppose it is, yeah.
And we shouldn't be shy about a God-given gift, should we?
No.
So slip that shirt off and let me look at you. Here, let me give you a hand. Oh, you've got the hairiest butt I've seen on a man since Jeremiah Lapsey. Let me run my fingers through that lot.
Yeah, hold on a minute.
I'm naked under these humble swaddlings, Reverend.
Leave it out, will you?
What do you think of these?
Please, I must be getting along.
Stay where you are. As a man of the cloth, it's your job to administer to my needs, isn't it?
Well,
I have the need, and you can cure it. Cure it.
Roll up, whatever you've got, this'll do it good. Watton's Patent Compound Elixir, guaranteed to get the embers going. Puts lead in your pencil, hairs on your chest, enlarges the bust, and they disappear. Now this way, ladies and gents, only 2 and 6 a bottle.
Evening, Squire. You're looking a bit peaky.
Yes, I've been sampling Jack Todd homemade cider.
And I'm surprised you're still on your feet.
It's not my feet I'm worried about. It's the old deli belly.
Ah, yes. Jack Todd cider is noted for its immediate effect on the sense of direction.
Sense of direction?
Yes. 2 glasses, and it doesn't matter where you were heading, you veer off and make for the privy.
Oh, where's Beryl this evening?
I don't know if I know. Knitting or something, I expect. Still, she'll be along. Now, how about something to cure that guts ache of yours?
Oh, would this elixir of yours do the trick?
Do the trick? And you're right, there's rain in no time.
All right, I'll give it a try.
A wise decision. And a bargain too, it ain't, Bob.
It says 2 and 6 on the label.
That's right. 2 and 6 are 8. Eight bob and worth every penny.
I'll have to fetch the money from the house for you.
Squire, could I have a word? Give him two, Squire, and make the second one off.
Vicar, good evening. I wasn't expecting to see you at our little...
At your little orgy of moral corruptitude, were you going to see?
No, I've
been meaning to ask you about this hobby of yours.
My ethnic collection, you mean?
Precisely, your collection, as you call it.
Vicar, I am an anthropologist. I study cultural differences.
The Lord knows how long you've travelled to ungodly parts of the globe, returning with young maidens of diverse complexions.
Only for the purposes of study.
Study, is it? Then how come you walk with a pronounced stoop and you only 27?
I think imagination sometimes gets the better of you, Vicar.
So you offer no defence?
I don't have to answer your mad accusations.
No, you don't. But let me tell you this. The fire of retribution awaits you, and it may strike sooner than you think.
Oh!
Ah, that's made you go a bit pale in the face now, hasn't it?
You'll have to excuse me. I must make a dash for it.
Can't bear to hear the truth.
I don't think it's the truth that's got him, Vicar. It's Jack Todd's home brew. Though I've noticed that when you talk to people, your words often have the same effect.
I have a little unattended business to attend to, Watson.
Oh.
But don't go away. There's a matter I want to discuss with you.
Oh, good. I look forward to that. Stupid old fool.
Hello, Jack.
Oh, Beryl, where have you been? I needed you here to help me set up the stall.
I've been entertaining the Reverend Dunneen since he ran off.
Oh, yes? What did he do when he found I wasn't in?
Oh, he took it like a man.
Give us a hand with this extra stock of elixir I got out of the
trunk. That's right.
Hello? Oh, the squire must be having one of his parties again.
Oh, look! Flames! The manor house is on fire.
What? My God, you're right. Looks like the whole upstairs is burning. There's some people climbing down the drain pipe.
What do they look like?
Well, they're those black cast iron tubes running from the guttering. Look, here come an Eskimo gown. There's a pygmy, two Amazons and a pair of Siamese twins, a dwarf Filipino, a salvo Swede, a nicely rounded Nubian, and a lady who I can't see properly behind the aqualung. Oh, no wonder the squire's got a squint. There's no sign of him yet. Poor bloke's probably locked in the lab.
If he doesn't come down soon, he won't get out of there.
Witness the fire of retribution, Mr. Watson, and let it be a warning. Come on, squire, where are you? He is about to burn in the inferno of hell, and so shall all evildoers perish.
Help! Help! There he is at the window.
Take your skirt off, Baron, and we'll stretch it out like a blanket for him to jump into.
But we haven't got any drawers on, Josh.
This is no time for idle vanity, Baron. Now, come on, hurry up.
Come on, squire, jump!
He'll never make it over the conservatory, Jar.
How dare you interfere with the way of the Lord? Leave him to his fate.
His fate? What about mine? He owe me 8 bob for the elixir.
Jump, squire, come on!
No! No, he'll never do it!
Oh, have faith, woman.
Jump now, before it's too late. Come on.
Here he comes! There he goes.
Another lost sale.
Ah, Mrs. Bickerslade. I see you persuaded your husband to part with his Pickwood Warner.
Yes, Maud. It was quite a wrench for him, but I was persuaded. Come along now, Benton, my nag. It's all in a good cause.
Oh, indeed it is, Mrs. Bickerslade. If we of the Netherton Ladies Knit for Enlightenment Group are to run up lots and lots of nice woolies for our needy, dusty cousins in far-flung parts of the Empire, we shall need every pickled walnut we can lay our hands upon. Ah, here's Evelyn. How are the veins, dear?
Oh, don't ask, Maud. Just do not ask. Now, what do you think of these?
Oh, my. What a load of balls.
Oh,
where did all that wool come from?
From the blanket-making lady next door. She's hung up her needles and gone to that great knitting circle in the sky. Mm,
well, that's marvellous. Just think of what we can do with them.
Ladies and evening.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. We have a full and varied program today with two distinguished speakers. Firstly, we are privileged to have with us the Rev. Bartholomew Pym, briefly back in England from his missionary duties. Then after tea, Mr. Joss Wotton,
who I believe has favored most of us at one time or another with the benefit of his most efficacious cures, will deliver his address entitled Country Wiles and Ways. And so, without further ado, let me put you in the capable hands of the Rev. Bartholomew Pym. Bart?
Thank you. ladies and Evelyn.
Hello, Rev.
Nudity is an enormous problem in balmy climes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. There are side issues such as disease and poverty, but how can a community rise above such difficulties when private parts are exposed on all fronts?
Ooh.
Time and again, I've broached this subject with tribal chiefs. They sit there, cross-legged, loins unashamedly free, and I despair. This is where the work you do is so valuable.
We enjoyed your talk, Reverend. The name's Josh Watton.
Bart Pym.
Not a bundle of laughs out in that jungle by the sound of it.
Yes, well, there is a great deal to do. Are you interested in missionary work?
Is there much money in it?
Well, we can always do with more.
Of course. I'm a bit of a missionary myself, in my own way, like. I must remember to add that to the sign on my gate.
There's Lord's work to be done wherever we are.
Yes, people are always bringing me their problems.
And you administer to their needs?
Whenever I can, Bart. My own flock, you might call it, and I try to fleece them at least once a quarter.
I could always do with an extra pair of hands, Joss, should you feel the calling.
Mr. Watson, I think we're ready for you.
Well, I must be off. Sorry I can't stay to hear your talk, but don't forget what I said. We need people like you, Joss.
Right, Obart. I'll keep it in mind. Now then, ladies and Evelyn, country wiles and ways. Now, let me start off with a question. Does anybody here suffer with hair loss, smarting loins, bad blood, infected ears, slow bowels, or stained bed linen?
Oh, do you mind?
Because if you do, I've got just the thing here for only 9 shillings.
What work of the devil is afoot here?
Good afternoon, Vicar. You've missed the missionary, I'm afraid.
And now you're on to the other 100 positions in the Kama Sutra, I suppose.
I beg your pardon.
Wherever I find Mr. Watson, moral undoing is never far away. But I've arrived to nip your little entertainment in the bud just in time, isn't there?
You're barking up the wrong tree, Vicar.
Am I now? This place reeks of sin.
This is Netherton Ladies Knit for Enlightenment Group, excuse me.
Horse of Babylon, I call
it. More of that, and I shall be in touch with the bishop.
You shall burn in hell, and this foul temple of sin shall fall about your ears. Men and women, and Evelyn,
yes,
behind closed doors in the same room. You can't tell me there was no shenanigans going on. Vengeance is mine. I shall repay, saith the Lord. Isaiah 15.
Cobblers, Book of Watton, Chapter 1.
You dare to oath with the wrath of the Lord close to hand?
Oh, why don't you push off? You haven't got your bully boy Dunning with you and without him your own mouth.
Your sin shall be counted against you, Watton. You are Satan's messenger, and I spit upon you.
Flam on me, would you? Now cut that.
What have you done?
Behold, what an uppercut strikes again. See how the mighty have fallen.
Dunning! Why must everyone forsake me in my hour of need? Dunning!
Oh. Hey, that's quite a shiner you caught there. What happened? You walk into a door, eh?
I am the innocent victim of a vicious attack by a disciple of the devil. Joss Watton hit me.
He
did.
Go on. Joss Watton?
Yes!
Oh! Don't believe it.
I don't. Oh, shut up. Can't you see I'm in mortal agony? This is no time for your tedious penchant for theatrical disbelief.
Oh, sorry, Vic. Here, do you want me to give him the old going over, that?
Indeed I do, Dunning. A going over of the first order is what I want you to administer to Mr. Watson. Go on, off you go. I'm in need of a little close communion with the only one who truly understands my torture and anguish.
Okay, then, I'll go in, do a bit of the old welfare work on what?
Peace and succor. That's what I need. I shall seek solace in the warming comfort of my heart's only true love. Esmeralda! Esmeralda, my Tinkerbell, where are you? Oh, there you are, my cuddlesome plump one. See how the devil's disciple has maimed me, Esmeralda. Be nice to Daddy, help him forget his pain.
Oh, Denis, my handsome. You've come back to see me.
Well, actually, Bear, I'm here on official business, like. Where's Joss?
Well, look, he's not in.
Oh.
Come on, if we're quick, we'll have time to go into the house and carry on where we left off before he comes back.
Well, I don't think I should, actually.
Why?
Well, I'm in training, and having, you know, thingy, it's bad for the legs when you're in training.
You didn't complain about your legs last time.
Well, all right then, but only if you cut your fingernails or wear gloves.
Oh, goody. Come on, quick. I found some leather horse tackle when I was clearing out earlier, so we'll be able to...
Oh, you're hobbling a treat tonight, Blossom. Do you want me to have a look at that there crutch?
Very whimsical, I'm sure.
Another round here, Blossom.
Your flesh tonight, which befits a man with a mind like a lovey.
Any time you want to pull my chain, love, just let me know.
By rounds, just. That's not like you.
Well, I made a killing up at the Cherry Fair before the manor burned down. But for that, I declare 20 quid, I reckon. Bad luck, was it?
Bad luck for the squire. So, you'll be paying off your slate.
All in good time, all in good time now. Here, I will get that down here. Another one for you too, Bibber.
Cheers, Josh.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Ah, well now. How about a game of cards?
What, game of usual?
Yes. Now, we'll need a fourth player, won't we? Now, who's got more money than sense around here? Oh, Manny. Good old Manny Cresswell. How are you, boy?
I'm all right, Joss. Glad I bumped into you, because there's something I want to tell you.
Oh, never mind that now, Manny. You sit yourself down there. Now, what are you drinking?
I'll have a pint of wallop, thanks. But, Joss, I think you ought to know that...
Pint of Manny,
way, you're
Blossom.
You'll have to wait. I've only one pair of hands.
Yeah, and only one good foot. We were just about to start a game of cards, Manny.
Oh,
you'll join in, won't you?
Yeah, all right. I reckon I ought to tell you first.
Right, I'll deal.
Joss, your hands.
Well, come on, Manny, play the game.
Manny, have you got Miss Chip the carpenter's daughter? Yes,
here you are. Now, Joss, look.
Joss, I must now, tell can you that... let me have Mr. Oh, Straw, the Thatcher's son?
Hard luck, Wilf. I haven't got him, no. Can anyone... Anyone smell burning?
I can. Look at the clouds of smoke past that window.
Well, somebody's having a good bonfire.
Good thick smoke, though, isn't it? I wonder what's on fire.
It's your house, Joss!
Oh, I see. What?
Well, that's what I've been trying to say. On my way here, I passed your house, and it were on fire.
Oh,
here's Joss now.
Oh, my God. The whole lot's going up.
Here, Joss, your house is on fire.
And all my elixirs inside. A year's stock. Oh, where's Beryl?
Well, you see that upstairs window with the front door?
Well, the bedroom, yes.
She stuck her head out of there about 10 minutes ago.
Did she say anything?
Yes, she just said help. But she said it very loudly.
Oh, Beryl, my love, all alone and on fire.
Oh, she wasn't on her own.
What?
Reverend Dunneen was up there with her. You could tell her what, they must have been feeding with the fire and all, because neither of them had a stitch of clothing on.
Beryl, Dunneen, fire.
Oh, look at that, Joss. The roof of your house has fallen in. Don't expect any wood inside to be feeling very well after that, do you? Joss, I said I don't... Oh, look. Joss has fallen on the ground and there's all white stuff coming out of his mouth.
Joss?
Beryl? Is that you? I can't see where you are.
There's nothing to see. I've been cooked to a cinder.
What were you doing in the bedroom with Dunneen?
Mind your own business. It was a smashing way to go.
If I had any hands, I'd like to get them on the lick.
Dunneen, you sod! Did you have your evil way with my Beryl?
It was the Vic what set fire to the house.
Beryl, talk to me.
We must be off now, Joss.
Beryl?
Come on, my handsome chicken. We're being beckoned.
Oh, what place is this?
Hello, Mr. Watson.
Oh, hello.
Mind if I call you John?
Why not?
It's terribly nice to meet you. I've ever felt excited. You see, you're my first proper client.
Who the hell are you?
I'm your guardian angel.
Oh.
Well, actually, I'm still on the training course, really. But it's my job to lead you through this mystical experience. Jolly, isn't it?
Oh, lovely.
My name is Dorcas.
Dorcas? Hmm. Well, that's not much of a name for someone in the mystical experience.
I know. We get given these staff names when we enroll. But then, what's in a name? And a rose would still smell the same, even if you spelled it differently. That's a quote from Wilfred Shakespeare. I'm ever so cultured, you know. Quite a little pearl in my own way. Now, from what I know of you, you'll be more interested in my firm, inviting body.
Yes.
My long, flowing, flaxen hair.
Oh.
And this wavy little number us twainy angels are given to wear, and a sealed name. What's your fancy?
Hmm?
I can magic anything you want. Or at least, I'll have a bath.
Well, is there anywhere a man can get a drink in this mystical experience?
Guardian angel, grade one, trainee fingers, there's a bar just behind you, and with another, a pint of brown and mild has already been pulled.
Oh, my life. This isn't so bad.
I did it!
Oh,
spitting!
Oh, yes.
Poor old thing. You've had quite a shock.
Yes, I have. I don't usually drink brown and mild. Still, as long as it's free, cheers. Hello. Hello, hello, hello. It's not brown and mild, it's light and bitter.
Oh, well. Not bad for a first attempt. Right. I want you to take all your clothes off.
All right. What?
What's on, dearie?
Fair enough. Well, there's no rush, is there? Let's have a couple more while we're at the bar, and then we can get down to the after cider.
Say, there's not much time. Soon, I'll have to pop you back to Netherton, and you'll be a changed man. Take all your clothes off and slip into these golden robes.
Well, gold's really not my colour.
This garment is woven from shafts of truth, burnished with wisdom.
Oh, I see.
We have some specially run up for these occasions.
Yeah, that's a bit roomy in the crutch.
Oh, this is the weighment of your new vocation.
Yeah, sleeves are a bit long as well.
Now, Archbishop Joss Watson,
eh?
Return to Netherton and administer to your flock. You need fear no man, for I shall watch o'er you. O'er means over in official jargon, by the way.
Oh, Archbishop? Me?
You are the first of a new order.
Order? Well, I'll have another pint of brown and mild. Brown and mild, brown and mild, brown and mild.
Joss, come on, boy. Oh, wake up.
Oh, another brown and mild, Dorcas, please.
Hey, it's me, Joss.
Dorcas?
No, Will. Dorcas.
Oh, the hot-looking piece of stuff with the firm young figure and long flowing flaxen hair.
You've had a shock, boy.
Yeah, she said that. Where's my golden robe?
He's gone a bit too lally.
It's woven with shafts of truth and burnished with wisdom, and it hangs down in the bum.
He wants to be got home to bed.
No, 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 listen, listen. All of you, gather round. I'm an archbishop.
What?
Archbishop?
Archbishop of the Cotswold Order of the Evangelic Knights.
What?
C of E for short.
Poor old buggers took a turn.
Listen, I'm as right as ninepence. And I'd like to tell you the parable of the good Sir Maritime.
Ooh.
He was a retired officer of the Galilee Navy. Now, there are these seven bridegrooms, you see, and they've got plenty of goats, but no oil for the lamp. Three knocks come on the door, and it's a crippled tax collector called Lazarus lying on his rude bed up a tree. The bridegrooms think, let him stay up there, poor sod, like anybody would. And they turn their cheeks as they pass on the other side of the road.
Well, fortunately for the taxman, who should turn up but the good Sir Maritime? He asked Lazarus what happened to the bridegrooms, and old Lazarus so surprised he fell out of the tree. Landing on his feet, he discovers he could walk all the time because he's only had the cramp. So he borrows a sheep and is just about to cut his son's head off when a nearby bush catches fire. This gives the bridegrooms enough light to read by, so they save a few bob on lamp oil. Everyone is happy as Larry and gives thanks, except for a bloke with a withered arm and fat calves who they eat. Now, that's about the gist of it. Anyone got any questions?
You better come back and stay at my house for tonight, just...
No, no, thanks, Wilf. No, the heavens above are the only roof I need over my head, and the mossy bank shall be my bed. The only comfort I crave is a kiss of the wind on me face and the warm embrace of early morning sunshine.
Well, if you're sure, I'll be off home. Well, you're feeling better today, Joss.
Oh, well, my child. Good to see you up and about on this fine morning.
You were a bad business.
Oh, such is life, Wilf, such is life. And I never felt better. Help me with this notice board, then we can hammer it to the post.
The Cotswold Order of the Evangelic Knights, proprietor J. Wotton, Esq., services with proper hymns, a sermon, and the open lava Wednesdays and Sundays, weather permitting.
Open air services, well. The whole earth is my cathedral.
Baptisms, 3p. Weddings at Tanner. Pre-wedding talks, 4p. Or 5p with pictures. Funerals, 3p. With juggling, 9p. Confessionals, reasonable rates, depending on what you've been up to. Apply to proprietor. Josh, to tell you the truth, there's something on my mind. I'd be glad to get off my chest. Here, you're not having me on about this being an archbishop, lad, are you?
Having you on? I'm a proper archbishop, well. Oh, I've even got one of them things you swing around in church and smoke come out of it. You can have a look for yourself. There you are.
Oh, I've never seen one of these close up before. Funny thing, I always thought there'd be more to it than a cocoa tin on 2 foot of string.
I've got all the robes and tackle. Now, clap your eyes on this.
What is it?
That's my Archbishop's mitre, Wilf.
Oh, are they always made out of sacking?
Well, most of the ones you find round these parts are.
And have they usually got King Edward written across the back like that?
That's who it used to belong to. Edward the Confessor himself, Wilf. Had it on when he burned the cakes.
Well, I suppose you must be an archbishop, then.
Now, come on, let's have this confession of yours. I'll just put me mitre on, then it'll be official.
How much is this going to cost me?
Ah, that depends. Have you been up to some mischief?
Well, Joss, I have had lustings.
Lustings, is it? Oh, they work out about a tanner each.
Can I owe it to you?
Well, confessions usually come cash on the nail, Will, still, as you're my first customer today. Now, tell me about these lustings. Who is this has your dander up, my boy, my child?
Well, you know Francis Levy. Him who keeps pigs over by Langton Bottom.
Yes?
Him with all the tumbling locks of golden hair as falls down on his broad shoulders.
Yes?
Him with a skin as soft as a baby's bum and eyes the colour of midsummer sky.
Yes?
His sister.
Oh.
I went down in the spinney over by the pond, cutting a few sticks for my peas when she come by. It was a hot day, and she stopped for a cool down, not seeing me. Lying back, she hitched up that skirt and stretched those long legs. Then she took the Kirby grips from her hair and let two long plaits fall free.
Oh.
Each tiny button down the front of her frock she undid with the care a woman takes when handling soft fruit.
Oh.
And as the frock fell open, no, he could see the delicate white linen underneath. Thin and almost transparent.
Oh. Transparent, was it, Wilf?
It was.
Hang on a minute, Wilf. I'm going to have to fetch myself a drink of water.
Well, there's not much more to tell.
Well, the best bit's to come, though, isn't it?
Well, not really. It started to piss down with rain and she made a dash for it.
Oh, what a letdown.
Now, what do I have to do for my penance, Joss, your archbishopness?
Just tell me the next time you're going down with the spinney and I'll come with you.
Yeah.
Now, see that handbell?
Yes.
Ring it for all you're worth.
This being a beautiful Sunday morning, I want to gather a good congregation for my first service.
Oh, the vicar won't like it, Joss. You sitting up in competition.
No, Wilf, I don't suppose he will.
Good day.
I know it's difficult to remember the words without hymn books, but depending on how good the collection is today, perhaps I'll be able to get a couple. As the new Archbishop around here, I'd like to give you a warm welcome. Now, I have the feeling we're in for a good session, so brace yourself for a fair wallop of religious good helpings. We do things off the cuff here and rely on the inspiration to come first hand. So, I've asked Wilf here to throw open the good book at any page, and that'll be our text for today. Off you go, Wilf.
The text for the day is printed in England by Air and Spottiswood Limited.
Do it again.
The text for today is Revelations chapter 21, verse 35. On the east, three gates. On the north, three gates. On the south, three gates. And on the west, three gates.
Thank you very much, Will. Very much. Right, now, anyone got any ideas about what this is trying to tell us? Anyone here feel moved by the text? Well, I can tell you, you're all a bit overawed by the weight of the words, so let's have a read of the text again. On the east, three gates. On the north, three gates. On the south, three gates. And on the west, three gates. Now, how many gates were there altogether?
14.
And how many disciples were there?
12.
And how many men do you need for a game of skittles?
Pairs of doubles.
Five aside.
How many sides?
Two.
11.
No, we're getting somewhere. Now, how often have you read about the disciples playing skittles?
Never.
Exactly. Because they didn't have enough men to form a team. Could have had a football side, mind, but what chance would they have had with a bloke like Judas Iscariot in goal?
I will make you fishers of men.
Very true, brother. Very true. Well, we've finished with skittles and football. Now we're on to angling. Some people say the Bible's dry old stuff, but it's all right for them as like sport. As it says somewhere, when I was a stranger, you took me in. When I was hungry, you gave me meat. When I was naked, you laughed. And when I was last down the Cooper's Arms, you beat me in spoof.
Are we all going to hell then, Joss?
Damn if I know, boy. But when I was a child, I thought as a child. And when I was a man, I thought like a man. And if I'd have been a pig, I'm not sure what would have happened.
What sort of pig?
That's what I like. A questioning mind. Now, would any of you sell their soul for a shekel?
No.
Two shekels?
No.
Of course you wouldn't.
Make it four and you've got yourself a deal.
What I'd like to know is, who's buying all these souls anyway? If I bought a soul, I wouldn't know where to keep it, even if it was fresh. Jack Todd dropped me off some pork chops last week and they were all fat. Where's the moral there, you may be thinking? Well, I'll tell you now. Never buy meat off a steeplejack. If you don't put your faith in the Lord, where do you put it? Storage is a real problem if you live in a small house.
What about fornication?
Later. But first things first. Now, it's time we had the collection. Now, don't forget, it profits a man nothing if you don't give generously, and the man that don't profit is me. So, Wilf here will go round with the wheelbarrow.
Watson! Watson!
We've got some talking to do.
Oh, Vicar, how nice of you to call in on our service.
There's nobody in the church. You've stolen my congregation.
You can always rely on folk to seek out the truth, Whitlock.
You care nothing for the spiritual welfare of these people.
Yeah, but I don't go about burning their houses down and putting the fear of God knows what up them, do I?
It was the fire of retribution that burned your cottage down.
Yes, you held the match.
You are no more than a self-seeking charlatan, lining your pockets from the weak will.
I'm a fully-fledged archbishop, and I've had the mystical experience to prove it.
When the day of judgment comes, Watton, you'll be cast into the eternal pit. Vipers will snap at your nether parts, and you shall gnaw your tongue for agony.
Now listen, Cock. When the day of judgment comes, it'll be your bits and pieces what take a nipping. Demons with fangy things and horny tails and black balaclavas will bind you with barbed wire and dip you in a cauldron of boiling fat.
That'll be like a holiday compared to what's in store for you. You'll be staked out over sharpened bamboo shoots that grow 2 feet a day, and they'll come up through your body.
And you'll wish you could swap places, because there'll be this red-hot barge pole stuck up your...
You're so certain of yourself. Accept my challenge. We'll fight a duel.
Nothing I'd like better. It's high time I give you a good hiding.
I don't mean a demeaning display of physical fisticuffs. I'm talking about a spiritual duel. A confrontation of beliefs. Pit all the forces you claim are at your disposal against the true power, of which I am a humble follower.
How do you mean?
Your faith against mine. Winner takes all the congregation.
You need fear no man, Archbishop Joss Watton, for I shall be watching all of you.
All right. When and where?
Oakham Hill. At dusk.
Wild night for it, Wilf.
You sure this is a good idea, Joss? Lot of people have turned up. Be a shame if you come out of it with egg on the fizzog.
Egg on the fizzog I shall not have, Wilf. I shall remain eggless. Like Dorcas said, who's watching or me?
Or?
Well, that's the official word for over. I'm planning shafts of truth burnished with wisdom. It's old Whitlock who's in for a bolt of something hot and sharp up the spiritual beliefs.
Here's the vicar.
I'm the vicar.
Oh. We're teachers.
Good on you, Dorcas.
Go on,
Mugs away then, Whitlock.
Oh, Whitlock, stand down on his knees.
Oh, Lord, look down upon that fallen soul over there. That self-seeking, scheming, morally corrupt trickster. That mercenary, deceitful, lusting charlatan. That pernicious, wretched, evil follower of darkness. And strike him down!
I'm still here, Whitlock.
Right, Dorcas, now get ready to do your stuff.
Let's have a good thunderbolt cast down from the heavens to sort out that old sod over there once and for all. After three.
One, two, three. One round all.
Went wrong, Dorcas.
So much for your great powers, Watson. Right, no shilly-shallying this time. I charge ye powers that be to show your awful strength. Gather ye forces from above and below, from the highest realms to the deepest depths. Send us a sign. Cast down a rain of destruction upon Watton, Satan's advocate.
2-1 Joss.
Look sharp now, Dorcas. Let there be hellfire and brimstone fall upon Whitlock and clout him a blow as he'll not forget in a hurry.
Oh, I can't do hellfire. That's not included on the course. And what exactly is brimstone? Oh, hold on a mo. I'll try another thunderbolt. Blast. Must be a faulty bat. Sorry,
John. Oh, I've had enough of this. Stone cold I am. You hang about here if you like, Vicar, but I'm off down the pub.
Oh, well, I ought to be getting home, really. I'm having the rural dean over for supper. No idea what to give the old boy. He's a bit of a gastronomic fuss pot. It's worth putting on a show for him, though, because he's... My God, that was close. I never seen lightning strike close like that before. Have you, Joss? Joss? Heavens above!
And there's his boots still smoking.
Oh, heavens below. I found the wrong one. God forgive me.
Oh, where am I?
Sorry, Geoff. You've had quite a shock.
Oh, this is another mystical experience, is it?
I'm afraid not, Geoff. This is the real McCoy. You're dead.
Oh?
My thunderbolt went a bit wonky and hit you instead of Whitlock.
No, everyone in Netherton will think that old sod won the duel, no? Oh, can't you do something?
What is there to do? You're dead and he's not.
Well, at least we can go and have a drink at that free bar.
Oh, no, we can't, I'm afraid. It's only open to non-residents.
Oh.
Now you're here full-time, we'll have to go on the wagon. Sorry.
Beaten by Whitlock, struck down by my own guardian angel, can't get a drink. I might as well be dead.
If I can make it up to you anyway, I'll be only too pleased to help.
Hold on. Can you go down below? Down to earth.
Manifest myself in mortal form, you mean?
Yes.
Of course, dearie. But only for short bursts.
And can you cook?
What?
I've had an idea.
I must thank you for a most excellent meal, Whitlock. Absolutely superb. I've not tasted a delicious joint so exquisitely prepared since the famine relief luncheon at the Dorchester.
Glad you enjoyed it, Rural Dean.
Who does your cooking?
She's new. Only arrived today. Ah. Just knocked on the door and asked if I needed a cook. Stroke of luck, wasn't it?
Yes, indeed. Almost heaven sent, one might say. Well, I'd best be on my way. Tread the road to righteousness. I'll convey your regards to the bishop.
You must pop by again, sir.
Good night to you.
That ought to do my promotion prospects a bit of good. A whopping plate of dinner and two bottles of claret down the old boy's gullet. Today, the Vicar of Netherton. Tomorrow, who knows? Yeah? My dear.
Enjoy the meal, Vicar.
Exquisite, my dear. The Rural Dean asked me to congratulate you. How you managed to rustle up the ingredients for so splendid a repast from my threadbare pantry, I've no idea. You must have hidden powers. The meat was cooked to perfection.
Oh, it was only a piece of old mutton. Anyway, I must be flying now, Wicker. You look a little whacked.
I must admit it's been an odd day. A strange one, too. Now, you'll be coming again tomorrow, won't you? Oh, she's gone. Oh, well. To round off this most pleasant end to the day, I feel a little consolation and affection is in order. Esmeralda, where are you, my little saucepot? Esmeralda, where are you hiding, my tender one? You know my love for you is all-consuming. Oh, Esmeralda, you wait till I find you, you naughty Finn. Daddy's going to eat you all up. Here I come.
Daddy's going to eat you all up. I wish I could see his face when he realizes he has.
We shouldn't make a meal out of Whitlock's misfortune, but I must say it was a wizardly jolly day.
And now it's time to celebrate.
Did you get those boxes of brown ale?
At the bar.
Not open to weddings.
Well, the bloke who runs things was telling me about a spot of trouble he was having with the farting lines. So I told him I had a recipe that would sort out the discomfort and suggested he let me borrow the key to the stock room.
Oh, John, you naughty old thing. Well,
here's to eternity.
Oh, That was The Cotswold Order by Robin Brooks, with Peter Tuddenham as Joss Wotton and Angela Crowe as Beryl. The Reverend Whitlock was played by John Church. The Reverend Dunneen by Nick Brimble. Dorcas by Natasha Pine. And Mrs. Bickerslade by Sheila Grant. Bernard Brown played the Squire. David Garth, Manny Cresswell. Jonathan Tafler, the Reverend Pym. Arnold Diamond, Wilf. And Avril Clark, Edie Cummings. The Cotswold Order was directed by David Johnston.